sponsored by the National Prayer Chapel.
God sent His Son. They called Him Yeshua. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. His Son, they called Him Yeshua. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my Savior is. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I
Welcome to Pilgrim's Progress. We live in such a strange time. It's a time I don't understand. I'm trying to. I'm reaching for it, but I'm having a hard time. How is it possible for this beautiful song to be sung or played? And you stand there at Jesus' tomb, and you weep. You join in singing this fantastic song, one of my most favorite. And then you dry your tears. And later you go to dinner. Then you go back to the hotel. And you fornicate. How is that possible? How is it possible that we can have a sentimental relationship with Jesus where we cry crocodile tears and we sing the song and we go and sin against Jesus, watch pornography or get drunk? How's that possible? It's a Christianity I don't know from Scripture. To me, it's not Christianity. To me, it's not being a follower of Jesus. And yet today, it's the common practice. Because we think we're saved by a sentimental love for Jesus. And he's covered it all. And he did it all at the cross. And he did. He provided the full atonement at the cross. But he did not do it all for you. You have to agree that he will do this in you. And then he has to make you righteous. And it's not by works, it's by faith in the blood of Jesus, but he transforms you. He makes you into a new creature. I've been following the story of Abraham with you. I want to follow that story through. Hagar and Ishmael have been sent away. Isaac has been wounded. It's now time for this little guy to begin to really grow up. Probably the story I want to share with you today . He's no longer nursing with his mother. He's a young child, maybe even a teenager. He loves his father, Abraham, does everything with him. I suspect he's a daddy's boy. But then we come to chapter 22. Of Genesis. And it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. That's the most terrifying thing God can do, but I believe he does it with every one of us. Oh, in different ways, but he will test you, and he will see whether you will obey him or not. And bottom line, it comes down to, will you or will you not obey God? We're not saved by obedience. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith. But that blood of Jesus Christ enables us to obey the word of the Father. It's not about sentimentality. It's not about culture. It's not about what you've been told or what you've heard. It's about what the Word of God says. It's about holiness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That holiness is not make-believe. It's real holiness. So Abraham responds instantly. He knows the voice of God. He says, here I am. And God says, take your son, your only son. In other words, don't go look up Hagar. Isaac is your only son. It's through your son, Isaac, that all of my promises will come true. Take this, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, the mountain of God. In other words, you're going to have a one-on, face-on confrontation with me at Mount Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. This is beyond comprehension. God doesn't ask for child sacrifices. He condemns child sacrifice. And yet in this instance, he is saying to Abraham, take your son whom you love. I know you love him. I know he is the very heartbeat of your life. Take this, your son, whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. So early the next morning, he didn't wait a day or 2 days and think about it, but early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the offering, and he set out for the place God had told him about. Abraham has not been exactly an upright citizen before God. Twice he's given away Sarah for his own protection in selfishness. The last time to Abimelech, his wife may have already been pregnant because God promised in 1 year I'm going to be back and Sarah is going to have a baby. Well, he just blew that away. He did what he thought he had to do to take care of himself, to pleasure himself. Everything I hear today in the modern church is about taking care of yourself, enjoying your life. It's not about sacrificing your life for Jesus. It's not about turning aside from the darkness. It's about having a good time. So he got up early. He collected his firewood, got his fire pot, and he set out for the place that God had told him about. It was a 3-day hike, at least 60 miles or more. The third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance, and he stopped and set up camp, told his servants, stay here with the donkeys while I and the boy go over there. And he said, we will worship and then we will come back to you. We will worship. We will come back to you. Please, I need to just say this again. Your sentimental music is not worship before God. So turn it off. Say that again. Your sentimental worship, your music, is not worship. And it will take from you the ability to hear the voice of the Spirit. Revival is not music. Revival is confession of sin and turning from it and having the Holy Spirit completely break from your heart the lust of your spirit and your heart. The devil has his claws in many of you. That's what allows you to go and sing beautiful music, cry crocodile tears, and go home and fornicate, or go home and watch pornography, or do some other ugly, wicked thing. No. Worship is offering your son as a burnt offering. Offering to God that which you love the most. Offering to God that which you cherish the most. Offering it to God. He said, "We will come back." How could he say that when he knows he's going to offer his son as a burnt offering? Well, we're told about that in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the faith chapter. Let me begin reading in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. In other words, he had to have a clear thought process. God's promise, he said, is absolutely true, and God is faithful, and he is right. And based on my knowledge of this God, I am going to turn now, and I'm going to obey him, and I'm going to offer my son as a sacrifice, knowing that he will then have to resurrect him. Knowing that the God he served was the God of resurrection. That no matter how painful, how severe God's mercy was toward him, in the end, God would do what he had said he would do. Now, what do I mean by severe mercy? Some 40 years ago, there was a book, A Severe Mercy, by Van Onken. I read it and wept and thought, I'll never have to go through that. But I did. My wife also died of cancer. How do I deal with it? By believing that my God is a God of resurrection, and that the day is coming when I will once more see my wife on the other side of glory, and that he still had things for me to do, and that I needed to be faithful before him. My brother, my sister, I've not been very faithful before him. I've done things I should not have done. And God has severely tested me to see whether I would obey him or not. And I've determined in my heart, I will obey the Lord. He is worthy. My God is worthy. We will worship and then we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and he placed it on his son, Isaac. He himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, it hurts to even imagine what Abraham was going through, the torture he was going through. I'm sure in his heart he was saying, "What am I doing? Am I going to obey the word of the Lord even when it means I lose my precious son?" Oh, yes, I remember. My God is a God of resurrection. He is the one through all the promises will come. He can't come. The promises can't come through a dead son. He must be resurrected. Okay. Now he can take a few more steps toward Mount Moriah. "Father, yes, my son, the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." I don't know how he could say that without weeping. It's hard for me to even read it without weeping. But I want you to hear this. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. God's son was the burnt offering. God did offer his son on that altar of sacrifice because he knew it was only in the offering of Jesus that he could save the earth and save the world. So God offered his son. And because of that, we can go on together. The sacrifice has been made. It was a cross where Jesus died and where his blood was shed. That just does such a work of compassion in my heart for the Father, for Jesus. They reached the place God had told him about, and Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. How could he do it? Because he had made a decision. Not a sentimental decision. There was no symphony playing on that mountaintop. It was raw. It was raw. That altar had to be built. That wood had to be laid in place. His son had to be bound and laid on that altar. I don't know, did he cry out, "Daddy, don't do this"? Jesus cried out and said, "Father, isn't there another way we can do this?" "Not my will, but your will be done." Jesus didn't want to die on that cross. He asked God the Father, "Isn't there another way we can do this?" I want to say to you, in tenderness and love, God sacrificed his son for you. And now he comes And he asks that you take that which you love the most and lay it on that altar. Everything that holds your heart away from the Father, he wants. He wants your sentimentality. He wants your American culture. He wants your tears, your music, your sports, your walking in the ways of the world. He wants it all. He wants it laid on the altar once and for all. Will you do it? Will you lay your future on the altar? And I come today saying, yes, I lay my future on the altar. I lay all of my ambition. I lay on the altar all that I am. I lay myself on that altar, bound on the altar. Abraham reaches out and takes the knife. He lifts it up over his son, ready to shed his blood. And the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. It was not the shedding of the blood of his precious son that brought him the reward from God. It was the word of the Lord that I will take your son's place. Offer a lamb. There's one caught in the thicket. The Lord on the mountain will provide. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Do you understand? The Lord has provided his son. His blood was shed on Calvary's tree. Will you give up your fornication? Will you give up your love of this world? Will you give up that which the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about and saying, will you give this to me? Will you obey the word of the Lord like Father Abraham did? God will not ask for anything from you that is to your good, that is a part of the plan of transformation and saving. God will not ask for anything from you that would not be for his glory. He will only ask for you to give that which Satan has snared you with, And he will ask that you would give that to him. Now we see plainly how seriously God will test every person, including you. And he will give you the ability to come through that testing if you're willing to give him your heart, your life, your love. But it will require a full testing before you will be able to enter into the presence of God. You hold things precious in your life, attitudes, practices, you hold precious things that you've had all your life, ways of doing things. The Lord has checked you repeatedly and said, stop. You said, I can't, that's just who I am. You have to become in Christ a new person. Read carefully. Romans, the 6th chapter. I'm not here to tell you about prosperity, how you can claim the promises of God and get a 100-fold return. Frankly, I don't care about such things. They're important because God promised them. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not in this with Jesus because of what I want to get out of it. I'm in this with Jesus because he loved me. And because I love him. Satan's love cannot begin to even begin to measure up to the love of Jesus. So we come recognizing that the severe mercy of God is the testing of our soul to see if whether or not we will obey him. And if we will obey him, he will draw us into his heart. Listen. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and as the sand at the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Let me say this to you, please. Jesus came and died on Calvary's tree to bless all peoples. Because Abraham obeyed the Lord. After the flood, God chose a man, and then a family, and then a people, and then a nation, and then the world, where he opened the way for us to enter into his kingdom, the kingdom of God. Jesus did this because he loves us. The testings of God come into our hearts and into our lives because he loves us. And it's only through these testings that we begin to identify how much we love him. And we begin to see that the only way we can walk with him is to walk in humble obedience, not with the wild wiles of the modern church. Not the church growth, seeker-friendly church. That's not where Jesus abides. He abides with the pastor, with the people who have laid it all down, who have not built on ambition or the desire for money, for prestige, or for power. The modern church is truly apostate in America. And we need revival. Revival is simply preaching and teaching in such a way that people turn from their wickedness and begin to walk in full and complete obedience to Jesus Christ. I want that kind of revival. I don't want the hip-hop revival. I don't want the dancing and the shouting and the screaming with the modern music. Revival is not a concert. It's not men and women lifting their hands to God. It's men and women dropping on their face before God in repentance and sorrow for their wickedness. It's not something that happens today and fades tomorrow. We need real revival in the American church, where we lay our lives down for him. Now I know, as I've shared this, I know in the spirit that there are men and women who have listened to this broadcast. And you've got to make decisions. These are not easy decisions. You are, even as I speak, being tested by God. He's speaking to your heart. It's easy to reach down and turn it off. But you will not escape the voice of the Holy Spirit, for he is calling you. And you must do exactly what Abraham did. Get up. Get your wood. Get your fire. Go to the place God has told you to go. And God will meet you there. And all that you have is on the altar. And God will say, I paid the price, Ray. I paid the price for you. Now leave behind all that is of darkness, all that is wicked. Leave it on the altar and let it burn. Follow Jesus Christ. It's getting late. The hour is late for America. You don't have much more time. He is going to soon come and separate the sheep and the goats. He's going to come and say, "Did you lay it all on the altar? Did you? Will you?" Mighty God of heaven, I come and pray for those who hear this broadcast, that they will make the journey to Mount Moriah, the mountain of God. And in that place they will lay down all that they have of darkness. And they will rise up and say, "I will serve the Lord, and I must be clean, and I will obey the commands of God. In cold blood I will obey. On the mountain where the wind is blowing and the cold, hard stones are stacked up, and the hot fire is on the altar, I will lay it all down. Only to hear you say, 'Lord, because you have trusted me, because you have obeyed me, I will bless you.' Lord, please come. Please come and bring full obedience into our hearts and minds. Let us come, Lord, and humble our hearts before you. And we will praise you. And we will thank you. Mighty is your name, Jesus. I pray also, my Lord, for those who are broken, those who are being tested, and they don't know that they can withstand the test. Lord, the testing that I'm in is such a painful place. I just trust you, Jesus. On the mountain it will be provided. I claim your blood, Jesus, and walk in obedience to your command, which was to wait upon the Lord. And so I wait upon you, Jesus. And you said, "I will carry you through." And Lord, I'm trusting that you will carry us through. I know we're coming to the end of the month and we're still more than $1,300 short. Lord, I stand by faith that all that is needed will be provided on the mountain of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. I pray in your holy name. Amen. Well, you've been listening to Pastor Ray Greenlee from the National Prayer Chapel, Woodbridge, Virginia. We're a house church. We're not anybody of importance. We're not anyone that our name should be recognized. But if the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart, then I invite you to come and worship with us. Be tested with us and walk through to victory with us. You can find us Sunday morning, 9:45, at 5009 Softwood Lane, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22192. So it's Pastor Ray Greenlee, 5009 Softwood Lane, Woodbridge, Virginia. Maybe you're not a Christian, but you know you need to be. Why don't you come just like you are? Let Jesus deal with your heart. You can also go to our webpage, National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. That's the National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. You're also welcome to go to our webpage where all of the past sermons and videos are there for you to share, to listen to. Go to nationalprayerchapel.com, one word, nationalprayerchapel.com. And I know that what you hear there will encourage your heart. We need each other on this journey. I need you. I can't go alone. I need brothers and sisters who will believe with me in what Jesus is doing. And you'll pay the price to walk with me. So, I want to tell you, our Lord is something awesome. Now I want to pray some more, specifically about those of you who need him today. Lord, there are some today who are in desperate need. They're physically broken, or they're sick, or they have cancer, or they have dementia. They need you to clear their mind and touch their bodies. I stand by faith that you will do that for them. For I know you are a God who answers prayer. You are a God who is exceedingly patient with us, filled with love and mercy. Lord, there are some who are homebound. They're not able to go out. Would you accomplish your purpose in their hearts? And Lord, for those of us who are broken, I just stand by faith that you are our healer. You are the restorer of our bodies and our minds and our souls. So, Lord, we come and we say, Jesus, we trust you. We look to you, Jesus. We know who you are. And we saw your great love for us on Calvary's tree. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness, but also thank you for your justice, for making us righteous by faith in your blood. Lord, thank you. Thank you. We praise your name.
Amen. Well, this is a faith ministry. We're a very small house church. We don't have the money to pay for the radio, the expense of radio and the expense of the internet. And we are more than $1,300 short this month. We've had some very painful setbacks financially, as some have stopped giving because they were angry with what I was saying. They disagreed. They ran. I love them anyway. But I wasn't depending on them for the resources to pay for the radio. I was depending upon Jesus, and I still am. And he's never let me down. He's never let me down. So I just stand by faith. I thank you, Marcella, for praying with us that God will provide what is necessary. I'm not asking those of you who are poor, who don't have enough money to cover your own expenses, I'm not asking you to give a penny. There are some like Ellen who give $30 a month. There's some who give much more than that a month. But when it all comes together, the Lord, every month, year after year, has provided. And so I'm not panicked. I'm just letting you know where we stand. I'm reporting where we're at to be accountable. So thank you, my brother, my sister, for your faithfulness before Jesus. You know, I really would like to see some of you here in Washington get bold and come on Sunday and just sit before the Lord. The National Prayer Chapel is really becoming known as a place where we come in obedience and just sit before the Lord. We pray, we sing, we worship. But we also just come and sit before the Lord. If you're not doing that in your home, I urge you to do that. Just turn off everything and just go and sit before the Lord. Don't empty your mind. Just give what's in your mind to Jesus. And he'll answer. God bless you, my brother, my sister. I love you with all my heart. I'll talk to you soon.